The service description for this week reads like this. Every now and then, we wake up to a moment that is better than anything we could have imagined. Every now and then, we're surprised to find that a relationship lasts against all odds, or an illness resolves after a hopeless diagnosis, or someone is loved out of poverty or homelessness. Every now and then, we get to know that miracles really do happen. And we all want one, or two, or three. For ourselves, sometimes. For those we love, often. For this country, for this planet. How do we create the space for them to appear in our own lives, I wondered. How do we cultivate the perfect soil for growing a miracle? Aren't you proud of me for using a gardening metaphor? I hate gardening. What is our responsibility in bringing these moments of unimagined surprising joy into our lives? And part of it, I think, is of course why and what we've done here today. We've made and are still making space for sadness and for joy, for love in its most pleasant form and love in its hardest, because we know that grief is really love. Coming together is love, remembering is love, and being fully present is love too. I wonder if perhaps miracles themselves are the universe's imagination of what our highest good could be and it becoming real, a happening that we dare not even hope for or believe is possible. Walt Whitman famously said, "To me, every hour of the light and dark is a miracle. Every cubic inch of space is a miracle." It would be a miracle to see life like that all the time. And Albert Einstein tried to get at the mystery of miracles by saying, in a very cryptic and hard to understand way, "Everything that can be counted does not necessarily count. Everything that counts cannot necessarily be counted." A complicated way of saying, you'll know it when you see it. Every miracle we pray for is some kind of healing. Social, emotional, physical, spiritual, on all dimensions. When we are asking for something, when we're imagining something, what we're really imagining at the core of it is some kind of healing. I've been reminded of the 1969 story Awakenings. Did any of you see that movie? Yeah. Where severely disabled people in various states of consciousness and functioning are given a dopamine drug and temporarily return to full or almost full functioning. It was miraculous. It's the story of Dr. Oliver Sacks and his experiences and experiments in medicine. He said, "One sees again and again in the case of all diseases," and I'm going to ask you to think about diseases broadly in all of those dimensions and all of those ways, not just physical. "We see again and again remarkable, unexpected, and inexplicable resolutions at times when it seems like everything is lost. One must allow with surprise, with delight, that such things can happen. Why they should happen and what indeed is happening are questions which it is not yet in our power to answer, for health goes deeper than illness." Health goes deeper than illness. He actually said health goes deeper than any disease. And I think that's true, not just of physical diseases, but to any thoughtful aspect of our unwellness. Racism, homophobia, misogyny, health goes deeper. I like that. I believe that because I think it speaks to UU theology really well. It says we are more than our illness, more than our mistakes, more than the places we are broken. So is our community. So is our nation. So is the world. Perhaps part of letting a miraculous surprise happen is to hold that imagination above all others, that somewhere beneath the illness is the health. The miracle isn't always you're cured, right? Do you remember also in that movie that they all reverted back? They did not stay that alive in quite that way. Sometimes the miracle is the learning, the peace, the movement forward in inches, the one more step that you didn't think it was possible to take. Perhaps it's a miracle to simply see the health in all of the hardship. Maybe we could bring about the outcome that's better than we ever could have imagined by letting the universe imagine for us, by being willing to be part of the story, but not the whole story. It's not really about us. Maybe we could believe in our own health by letting go of prescribed limits and unnecessary boundaries of what can be. Maybe we embrace the weird and wonderful, as Bridget said. And here's another tool in that toolbox of imagination and miracles that we might be able to embrace in the practice, in the wanting to live as though health is deeper than any disease. And it has to do with, of course, what we say and where we place our focus. The minister, Heather Concannon, said that there's such a strong tradition in our Unitarian Universalist faith of working for a better world, a world of more justice and equity where we're all able to thrive. And in order to do that, one of the sacred tools we must draw on is the tool of imagination, the tool of not just denouncing what the world is and what we don't like, but announcing, here is what I see as a better world. Here is what I imagine is true. Faith is the work of living with a foot in two worlds, the world as it is, and the world our hearts know is possible. I want us to do a lot more announcing. It doesn't have to be like this. It can be like this. The world can be whole and healthy and loving and forgiving. We can announce the miracle every day with the choices we make in our own lives. More miraculous choices, like the choices we see today, to love and hear. More miraculous choices to love, period.